This is CliffCentral.com. Fashion Lab on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the Fashion Lab show. My name is Liz Ogumba Regisford, your host, and thank you for tuning in once again. Now, today is that time of the year where we really look back. We're literally at the end of it. And we look back just being able to touch base on some of the topics we've been able to discuss and dissect at Fashion Lab here on Cliff Central. And just being able to also have the opportunity to connect with such amazing minds, such amazing professionals within this industry who are really innovating and moving and shaking to the end, to the T. So allow me to introduce, first of all, our special contributors who, when they're not plugged on the show, I can barely move. Like, literally, my legs are stuck and my mouth gets stuck too. So we try to literally be in the house together just to be able to bring in different insights. And I hope that for those of you who've been tuning in through the years, I mean, this is almost 3 and something years that we've been going on weekly, just dissecting the business behind fashion. We really hope that you have been able to acquire a lot of information and been able to also apply some of this, you know, tips and tricks and just real talk that we have into your businesses to see yourself grow into a bigger and a better brand today. Now, allow me to introduce to the show Edgy Benson, who is our contributor from New York. He also runs NUE New York, and he's coming live and direct with his echoes from New York. Welcome to the show, Edgy.
Thank you, Liz. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you? And what are you wearing and who made your clothes? I got it first.
You beat me to it.
I beat you to it.
Well,
bye-bye.
I'm unchanged. I have today a pair of diesel skinnies,
oh,
olive color for
Edgy,
a change.
Edgy, we are going to can we make a pledge that next year we are only going to literally at this point ask you what you're wearing on the top so that we don't need to know what's, I don't care if it's a green one or a yellow one this time. We don't need to know what's on the bottom. We've had this conversation too many times.
You would love this green though. You would love this olive.
Okay, well.
And I have a pair of nude Chelsea's from Bali, Chelsea boots. And my favorite herringbone winter jacket, hooded of course. And I feel good.
I think for you, Edgy, what we'll do in future is if I ever travel with you, I'll just ask you to carry one T-shirt, one pair of Chelsea boots, and one pair of denim, diesel denim. Because
that's what I do.
No, because whether you, people don't know that you actually change clothes, but you almost seem like a person who wears the same clothes every day. But anyway, that's for another day. Listen, that's for another day. That's for another day. Thank you for joining us. We definitely love to have you on the show. Thank you for your contribution and your time. Allow me to roll over to our contributor, Francisca Marzilli, all the way from Lisbon, with her echoes from Europe. Welcome
already
to the show, laughing. Francisca.
I was waiting for the introduction, but thank you.
You couldn't wait anymore.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And you guys, how are you doing, Francisca? Who are you wearing and who made your clothes?
I'm very well today. And today I wear all, as promised, all white outfits.
Very nice.
High heels, of course.
Very nice. And, and who
I'll,
made
I'll
your
send
clothes?
You pictures.
Yeah, and who made your clothes? You're all white. Who's the brand behind it,
well,
or who's the or who's the production?
Is, Benetton and Zara and Cassaday Hills.
It's very nice. Lovely to have you on the show today. And I know that if I had to travel with you, I would actually have to probably, one of us would have to carry an extra or two cases of each other's overweight, because we actually really change clothes and we really change. But anyway, it's really good to have you on the show. Thank
you
for joining us. Today, I am wearing a beautiful, beautiful dress. This is one of my really special pieces. Again, it is me. And don't be upset for those who are thinking, why is she always wearing her? I try to switch it a bit, but truly, I have 80% of Liz Ogumbo in my wardrobe, so I have no choice but to wear me. This is a beautiful, easy dress, and I just love it because it's that time of the year, and it makes me feel like, whoo, 2018, here we come, make way. So I'm wearing that, and I'm wearing some beautiful heels, and I'm just feeling great today. So, yes, that's who I'm wearing. A quick reminder to those of you who are tuned in, my favorite segment at the end of the show is called Who Would You Want to Dress and Why? So feel free to share with us your who's and your why's, because that is that special segment. We call it the red glass of vintage wine. It could be from Porto. It could be from Stellenbosch. It could be from anywhere in the world. Edgy doesn't know about this one, but at least Francisca does. So we will invite you to enjoy this.
I can help.
Yes. We will invite you guys who are tuned in to share with us this beautiful moment at the end of the show. Keep your tweets coming. We're on Fashion Lab AF on Twitter. And we are on Fashion Lab Africa on Facebook and Instagram. We'd love to hear from you. Another quick reminder also is if you're tuned in, if you have any special topics or conversations or subject matters that you'd like us to dissect at the Fashion Lab here, feel free to email us. We are on info@fashionlabafrica.com. And generally, you can find us on fashionlabafrica.com for more information about who we are and what we do. Now, back to the conversation of today. Francisca and Edgy, it's been a pleasure having you guys through the year. Francisca, I think you joined us in April, was it? Or was it March?
Yes.
It was March. And every week as we talk and as we have these special guests who join us within their different spheres of influence within this value chain, it's really been encouraging, it's been motivational, it's been innovative, it's been refreshing, it's been challenging, but at the same time it makes us better in what we do in this industry, and I'm sure you'd both agree with that. So I want to touch base and start maybe on just going through topics through this year and some of the conversations that we've had and what they have actually done for your businesses. So first of all, I think maybe we're going to start with you, Edgy. And yes, it's ladies first, but we'll give you a chance today because it's that time of the year and we are feeling good. Between me and Francisca, we are happy. So you can get that chance to just share with us who you are, what you do. For our listeners who hear from you, normally hear from Francisca, they don't really know what else you do in detail. And I think it's really important to just, first of all, introduce yourself within what you do in this industry. And then we're going to touch base on some of the topics that have touched what you're doing through the year.
All right. So, well, all of you guys, I mean, my name is Edgy Benson, and I'm a fashion services provider. My company, NUE New York, develops collections for designers globally. When we say develop the collections, means that when the designer comes to us, they don't go anywhere anymore. We develop the design idea. We develop the fabrics that go with the idea. And we develop the patterns. We develop the samples. We develop the final product that you see on the runway. And after market, we develop the orders that go to the stores. So we are a one-stop shop for designers, and that is across the board. Whether they are developing a belt, whether they are developing a trim, a zipper pull, or a whole garment, a particular kind of lace, a particular kind of denim. They want certain threads on the denim. Whatever it is that the designer concepts, we work with them to achieve that concept. Working with our looms, our mills, our fabric mills, and we have a chain of factories that we partner to, and we own our own factory in Shanghai. So we have a design studio in New York, and we have a sample room in Shanghai, and a manufacturing facility in Shanghai. So we are a one-stop shop for fashion designers and for private labels and for stores who have their own brands. And that's essentially what I do. Are we there?
Yes, we're here. There's a hissing sound from your end or someone's end that I'm trying to...
Yeah, someone. Okay. So over the year, I think for this year, we've had some amazing conversations around fashion. And I have gained a lot from those conversations. And I'm hoping that our listeners have also picked up a few things. I think for me, among the most important conversations that we've had, I mean, honestly, this year, I think we've had a lot of conversations around branding,
Yeah. Can I, before Edgy, before we touch on the conversations through the year, can I kindly ask that we also, that Francisca also just share with us what you do as a professional in your capacity? And then we're going to go through the shows and some of the topics that have really been compelling. I'm sorry, there's a hissing sound that's really disruptive for the conversation. So please check your sound areas. Okay, cool. So we would love to definitely hear from you, Francisca. You're also in the business of fashion. You play in this industry for years. Let's talk about who you are, what you do, and just for the listeners to get a bit more in-depth of Francisca's world.
Well, since 1998, I deal with fashion in different levels. My education is fashion designer and expert. But also I'm an agent in the fashion company, the Mario Battista, based in Lisbon, and dealing between Italian, French, and European companies, and Luso-speaking, Portuguese-speaking markets of Africa and Brazil. So it's a very complex range of roles and things I covered during my career. Close to this, I have also a known brand, Francesca Marzilli, mainly a made-to-measure atelier and bridal and for ceremonies. And also illustrator, and this is why I founded in April the Charmies line, that is a line of printed T-shirts with my sketches of fashion. So I'm also a teacher sometimes, three times a year. I'm also lecture textile technologies in the Magistil, the Scuola di Moda di Lisboa, in short-term courses. And I travel a lot, and I adore what I do, and I am very happy with this.
Very nice. Thank you, Francisca, for that 2 cents. And, you know, it's not 2 cents. All of the things that you do, that's not 2 cents, actually. But it's good to know what you're doing. And it's also good to know how you play a role in the fashion industry and what you're doing to also get ahead, but also to get others to move ahead. Now, I want to just go straight into, and for those who don't know me, because nobody ever asks me, I mean, Edgy is quiet, yes. Francisca's quiet,
you're
but
right.
I feel that.
I was going to ask you, actually.
Okay. Okay, Edgy, go ahead
because
and ask.
Today I'm just telling you thunder. I was going to ask you.
Okay, so go ahead and ask me, Edgy.
No, I mean, so for listeners, you know, I mean, Liz has been the one constant. Everybody, she mirrors out everyone, but people probably don't know as much as we should know about her, how big she is and what she does, and how consummate she is in her design philosophy and all of those things that she does that are just so great that people don't see but only get to hear us, because it's all, I mean, without her we couldn't be on air, and that is doing it on top of everything else that she does. So, I mean, for one, we are so grateful to her. But this is also an opportunity for us to, you know, for her to tell you guys more about herself. You know, so Liz, let us hear from you.
Over to me. Well, thank you, Edgy. So I want to just say that, you know, for me, I am definitely a fashion industry professional in my own right. I'm a fashion designer by profession. And this is my 10-year mark. I still don't know if I'm going to be hanging from a mango tree or should I go cliff jumping again in December. Or I don't know what I'm going to do to be able to make a mark and let people or remind people of my 10-year journey. But I'm just so grateful that I started designing and working in the design space in 2007 in Kenya. And prior to that, I was a model in the modeling industry. And concurrently, I set up a modeling agency in LA in 2004 called Imani Models or Imani Model Management. Then I moved it to Kenya in 2005 because I was really concerned about the model and, you know, just the stereotypes around this model, where she was struggling, where she did not get visibility, where she felt challenged. And I just wanted to be able to house this model in a safe sort of haven where they could still work and still be in a place where you feel respected, in a place where you feel you can thrive, and in a place where you can smile to the bank, because again, that is in business, that is what we want to achieve. So I have been a model for years, and then I got into the modeling industry, set up the modeling agencies, and then I started designing in 2007 because I just felt like that I needed to be get my hands in even more. And the good thing is I am a self-taught fashion designer. So everything I learn from either from the backstage when we started learning and sitting and for hours, you know, when you think about a model call time and the amount of hours you have to sit backstage, all you have in front of you is fashion, really, and naked bodies and like makeup and like whatever else. And it's up to you to actually figure out what to do with that time. So I thank God, and I'm grateful for the fact that I can be able to acquire knowledge so quick. And I think it's also about passion. And I feel like the other thing for sure is I'm a musician. For those who don't know, I debuted my first album in 2010. My second album is about to drop in this month, so look out for it. And for everything else that I'm doing, I'm very passionate about the industry. I came up with this concept with a brother called Morwick Peterson, and that was 3 years ago, where we thought, you know what? We need to play a role in bringing the fashion industry conversations to life, because that might be the savior, and that might be what actually helps us get to where we need to get to as an industry and build in a better and bigger way. And so this is about 3.5 years we are celebrating our Fashion Lab as well. I think it's not an easy road. It's not an easy thing. But I think that we definitely add value to the fashion industry in one way or another, and I hope that we can add even more value. So for those stakeholders and everybody who've been a part of Fashion Lab, we really want to thank you for your time, for your input, and for just being able to tune in and plug in and believe while you listen and apply where it works. So that is me. For more about me, I'm on www.lizogumbo.com. Otherwise, that's about Liz. So now I want us to go back to just do sort of like a glance of the fashion industry conversations that have happened here on Fashion Lab this year. We're going to talk in the beginning of the year, if you guys remember well, we had Bodhisattva, who's a musician, music DJ. And we were talking about brand, I think we started with brand music and fashion, I think. I mean, it was a very good time of the year to start talking on that. So
brand images and stuff and brand, yeah.
Yeah, but the topic was really around music in fashion and fashion in music. And it's very special.
Yeah, like brand collaborations and stuff, yeah.
Yeah. So yes. So what are some of your fashion's influence in music? Have you guys seen it become something bigger? Have you seen it really expand? When you think about Bodhi and our conversation with him, when you look at the end of this year, do you guys feel like we've actually had some really big influences from the fashion industry into music and vice versa? And like, what are your thoughts?
I mean, music and fashion have always been a constant, you know. Musicians have to look good, and fashion designers make them look good. And fashion designers love being showcased by designers, just as designers love being showcased by fashion designers. That's a marriage that actually is just unbreakable, and it's been there for so long. So I think for me, that's always, as a conversation, it's a constant, you know. Musicians are continually working with fashion designers. To be honest with you, I don't see how anywhere else, you know, how else these two people express themselves except to each other, you know. Yeah. So that's a tandem that will always be there. Those two.
That was very interesting.
In my opinion.
That was very interesting.
Yeah.
Do you guys also remember the other show around? Yeah, go ahead, Francisca.
I was just confirming what Diegi said. It's an undetachable combination, especially in this period, music and fashion. Even in a commercial of fashion, you need the music on background, and it has to be the right music to promote the right image of the collection. So I think it's more and more undetachable, an undetachable combination between fashion and music.
Yes.
And also, as designer, I can tell you that I work a lot and I create a lot, and I'm very, very productive when I have the right background of music.
Mm-hmm.
In reality, be honest, being honest, I choose some music, some kind of music, some groups to create more
to give you more drive, yes, and to give you more motivation,
yeah,
and drive.
Yes,
and,
yes, music drives me a lot. Yes, yes.
It's beautiful, guys.
Yeah, I think it's a constant. Yes.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, in January, we also touched on Africa fashion going global with Sofia Villarino. That was the Africa, Moda Africa thing that happened. If you guys remember, I was also in Portugal for that. And we spoke about Africa fashion going global as well. And I think for me, that was what was, I mean, I think that's what sort of incited or brought this topic to life. We also had a fashion designer exclusive with Rui Silva. And we definitely spoke about style and fashion in the corporate world with Nadima Kahan, who one of the things we all still remember is the ID.
Yes.
So any other thoughts on the on our you know, on those topics in January last year? I mean, in January this year, any other thoughts, anything you want to add on or?
No, I think for me the thing with, honestly, the session with Nadima stuck with me, in the sense of just your own personal identity, how that is important, because
yes,
it translates into how you shop, you
yes
know,
yes,
how you shop, the brands that you love, the environments that you want to live in. It was such a cross pollinating subject, you know, like it did cut across all the things that you did in your life. So that topic was huge for me. It stuck with me, and it's still something
with
I care about.
And still,
yeah,
touches on what everything. When you mentioned, yeah, when you mentioned at the beginning of this show about branding and how it actually, if we look through most of our topics through this year, branding has come back one way or the other. ID, even if it's
yes,
something Nadima is talking about when it comes to fashion in the corporate world and style, still comes back to branding.
Yes.
So I feel like branding has come in and out of the conversations all through the year. And that just shows that is a very, very important topic to really think about, to wrap our heads around and, you know. And yes, so Francisca,
especially
I know...
Especially in Africa, though.
Yes, so especially in Africa. Yes.
Anyway, I was just going to say, especially in Africa, just because its branding is what elevates brands, you know, it's what elevates you as a designer or as a person, you know. So, you know, it's a good topic for Africa, especially.
I think so, too.
We need to elevate the game.
Now, I want to say, in February last year, we touched on the impact of counterfeiting, and that was such a big thing at that time. And we obviously plugged in, I don't remember who plugged in, but I know that we had a real conversation about this and where we should be going. We also spoke about stress, managing health and stress in the fashion industry. And we also touched on a fashion design exclusive with Nicola Conradi. But the health and stress is a very big topic that, even if we didn't touch on it again, it's something that, you know, in this industry, which is not for the faint-hearted, if you cannot find a way to manage your health and stress in this space, you might as well pack your bags and really, like, go home. So I think that was very, very important. We were joined by Farai Simoi. We spoke also to Saeed Maya. Remember?
Yes.
And remember,
yes,
those things.
Yes,
I actually
yes,
need
yes,
to book a revive before we go away on holiday, because I'm going to need all of that. even just for the holiday. So I think the stress, managing stress levels, some of these topics are very odd, but when you listen to them, you actually realize everything touches. I feel like when I say fashion is like water, I feel like everything touches on fashion in so many ways that you have to just find a way to manage your health, manage your stress, and then you can get into the battlefield and win. The counterfeiting as well, I think, was something that we really touched on, how it was affecting fashion brands and how the situation is being managed. Does anyone feel like anything's changed so far, or any feedback on any of these topics?
Francesca, what do you think?
I think that my since I'm joining the Fashion Lab Africa, I'm very touched from every guest that we had, because everyone has his own experience and is so, and it was so kind, he or she, of course, was so kind to share his experience in working and in work and in a human perspective. So it's difficult to choose. But if I could choose the interview, the show more touching for me, it was with the
I know with who,
the photograph from
Ondivo photography. That really touched us.
Yeah.
That touched everybody and beyond. But
because
I think for
opened.
Yes. And I think, Francesca, we are not actually choosing. We are just touching base on some of the conversations that were really compelling and actually how they touch our lives. We are all in business. And when we dissect the business behind fashion and come up with these topics, there's topics that really touch. And then there's stories within those topics, like Ondivo really touched us, all of us. I mean, I think we all have had our hankies and literally felt those tears rolling, or our hearts just crying, but just crying in a positive way to say, wow, there's actually hope for there's hope for everyone.
The other radio show that I remember with a lot of pleasure was the one with the Misspoke, some of the Misspoke application.
Yes.
I adore to hear his enthusiasm, and to it was contagious. It's something coming. I was invested by a wave of enthusiasm and progress and evolution, and I adore that. Mm. I adore his energy, and I still follow him. And I'm still in touch with them for other things.
Yes.
I also like the Misspoke show. The only thing is I have to connect with Saeed. His name is Saeed, right? I have to connect with, is it Saeed?
Seed
Hassan. Yeah. I have to connect with him because I personally, as an Android user, I'm not really winning with this thing. So it's just really, I'm not sure what's going to happen here. But I think that, yes, I love what he's doing. However, we are left out. So that's something that we really need to encourage him to start thinking about, because there's millions and billions of Android users who would like to also take advantage of the same sort of offering, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yes, absolutely. 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 I feel like we had some really good messages, you know. And to be honest with you, I'm sure that people will appreciate how we felt about Fashion Week this time from how we felt about the last Fashion Week before the one that just passed, because we were so full of praise for the way Fashion Week was done this time. We felt better.
So you mean SA Fashion Week?
You know? Yes. We felt better, you know. I don't know what impact, you know, I don't know what the influences are on it, but whatever it is that is influencing it, we are able to be a part of that influence. And I just feel like it was a much better show. But you were there. Mm-hmm. So you probably I have other opinions, but I...
No, we have all the sentiments are quite similar because we have these interviews with SA Fashion Week every season, and being there and being able to see what was different from the previous is definitely, it was very obvious. It definitely, for me, I think SA Fashion Week this season was one of the best SA Fashion Weeks for me in so many ways. And we've spoken about that on the show. For those who are wondering what we're talking about, that show is somewhere on our podcast. Just log on to fashionlabafrica.com and check out the podcasts to find out more insights about how we felt, what was different, what was upgraded, what just made it a better show this time. Another show that I really liked was around the African fashion consumer and just understanding how his psyche. And we were joined by Wanjiku Nyoike from the designer studio in Nairobi and also Trendspotter Sharon Olago, who's also my cousin. But it was a very interesting time to talk about insights from other fashion consumers and entrepreneurs from other parts of the continent. Because, you know, people sit here and we sit here and we think sometimes that you can sit down in Johannesburg and decide how Africa feels about things. That does not work. So I think for me, that step of being able to touch base with them was a very great opportunity to give us insights of, listen, what's happening in Cape Town is different from Durban, is different from Lagos, is different from Accra, is different from East Africa. Even East Africa on its own is too big. Kenya, Nairobi on its own is just a different ballgame. And that was good for us because it also gives you that insight, I mean, that conscience of how to continue to get your brand to the consumer. And then you obviously start taking advantage of the fact that the consumer, the middleman, is now pulled out. We've had quite a lot of shows also just about how to really get to the consumer. So I think that out of highlights of this year's shows, I feel like besides branding, consumer, consumerism and how to get to the consumer, how to get your product to the consumer has been something that I see as a weaving thread that has gone through different topics. But really, because at the end of the day, if you don't know your consumer, there's nothing. You cannot be in business. You cannot sell. So I thought that was a great show amongst a lot of other shows. So African fashion consumer, according to Style, there was a social commerce as well. We actually had social commerce, e-commerce part 1 and 2. Do you guys remember that as well?
Yeah, e-commerce was also, yeah.
Because that was misspoke on one, and then there was just the FYI online team on another.
We touched on e-commerce quite a bit,
Yeah.
We touched on e-commerce, I think, a few shows.
Yes, I think so too.
It's present in every
situation.
Yeah. Thing we say, because it's a big trend that now you cannot shop fashion without doing it online. You can see in the windows, but in the end you do it online. So
we also,
it's very actual, very,
yes. I think the fashion and media also played a role. Like I said, some of these conversations, even though they're different subject matters, they still come back and touch on all of that. Because after social commerce, we went into fashion media. We had the ASM group. And then I think we had two fashion medias. But there was the ASM group, and then there was Kweku Ansa from Kanu Magazine, if you guys remember. But it was very different insights. Kweku sits in Ghana.
Yeah, I remember them.
Yes. And then Amaka and Bin Kanyi sit in the US. So I think it was just a great, great conversations to have and to see how media plays a role in fashion and obviously even extends to sales and how we sell our products and our services. I think that was really cool. The fashion education curriculum, you guys...
Yeah, but that's a topic that I think that we need to
come back to
more on.
Me too.
You know, we should, because that's like the base, the foundation for everyone, you know, just that to begin to formulate the right kind of thinking, see how schools can help students. Because fashion education is changing a lot, you know, it's the curriculum is changing. Some right now, it's because of just the education system is so evolved also, where schools are not so formulaic anymore, you know. So I think fashion education is the same. It's a bit more broader and wider and looser, you know. Yeah, so that's something that we need to bring more to focus.
Yeah, do you guys also remember the brand development? We spoke to Elikem. Again, that was a different... When we speak about brands, gosh, we've really touched on brands this year. Anyway, I think that brand development was definitely, again, aligned with branding on a different angle. And that's why we had Elikem the tailor come in and just share with us how he's branding himself and how he's using that to actually create a brand that's bigger than him. But I'll tell you guys, one of my other highlights this year was definitely denim. And not because I was showing denim, but just because, gosh, we went on a month and ramped on denim all month long. And I think that that was so amazing because we got to touch on denim in so many facets, in so many ways that I've got people who say they only listen to the show and then realized, oh, there's raw denim and there's raw denim and then there's raw denim and what's the normal denim? Washed denim. And my husband
there's basic, there's premium.
But the two different denim, how to identify two different types of denim is really raw and washed. And I'm just saying that what we think is obvious is not obvious.
Because
my husband these days says, okay, I'm buying a pair of jeans. He's like, okay, is that raw or is that washed? I'm like, Baba, get out of the mentality of like, is it raw? If you like the denim, buy it. Stop asking about like, why do people get so caught up in it? But only after the shows
There isn't a lot of raw denim. The good thing is there is not a whole lot of raw denim out there.
Yeah, but in Africa there is we are full of raw denim because we don't have the laundries to be able to manage all of what you are doing, Edgy, on a different side. So just anyway, for me
they probably wash it a little bit.
Yeah, but we don't have the same technology. Yeah, the real denim, sort of real denim production spaces
absolutely.
Have. So we end up just being happy with, with just your simple raw denim and then you make it work. So I think that denim was very interesting on how it actually got people really thinking. Things like how to wash denim. I mean, it sounds so basic and silly, but there you go. We had that as one of our topics on that whole 4 weeks of denim. But that's amazing. So yes, we've had the ethical fashion, element as well. I don't know if we need to maybe touch more on it next year because I feel like even though we did have Karen Pybus and we spoke about that, I feel like there's a bit more towards the end of this year. We've had a lot of conscience and a lot of social responsible sort of brands coming out. And that to me still falls under the...
More and more.
Yes, more and more. And so the conversations we are beginning to have I don't think we are going to be having conversations around be conscious anymore or think about it or think about eco or think about sustainability or think about ethical ways to play. I think people are catching up and have caught up. And I think that the next step is going to be how to move it a notch higher. But we've actually touched on sustainability and conscience in a few shows in different ways that have just woven through, especially through this last quarter. And I think that it's great that we are... paying attention. Let's talk about Black Friday.
I also to talk about. I was suggesting this because I liked not only the Black Friday one, but also the show about the outlet and discounts promotions that we had with Gerard Foster. I think and the Shirley MacLaine was very very interesting. I had the feeling it was a very short episode.
Yeah, we could do it again.
It was the first part, and I was waiting for the second one the next week. So it's been interesting also.
Yes,
even because we have the Black Friday, now Cyber Monday, and then other promotions, and it never ends.
Yes.
In China, they even have the Singles Day.
Yeah.
It's huge, too.
Yeah, every single day is good for discounts.
Wow.
Yeah, it's big in China, the Singles Day. It's like a big, big deal in China.
It's very good. It's very good. But I also think that we should do more of and that ties in with the impact of Amazon on retail. And then obviously, if you think about it again, is, you know, these outlets that are really just monetizing and still smiling to the bank despite the current situ. I think that's a conversation to have more here. And one of the things I know for sure also is that we don't have much of those in the continent. Whether you think about it from the east, west, north, central, south, we don't rarely have the Bista villages of the, you know, of the UK in you know, or the what do you call them? What's the other ones in the US? You've got Ross, you've got Marshalls, you've got and a lot of other bigger discount stores where you still get the same brands for less value. I just think that that's a great conversation to have next year and see how the temperature is here in the continent. And just see what's going to change and how it's going to change, because brands, I feel, generally can barely survive on sales. So with these discount stores and how they're set up, I'm sure there is an interesting strategy around it and how it's set up and how and which brands are involved and how they get to make a break. So getting into the psyche of it should be something I think we should we should unpack next year, just so we also understand what it is. And I feel like the adamants around Black Friday is the same mentality around outlet stores, outlet sales, like, you know, because people always think, gosh, the first thing anyone thinks is, gosh, how am I going to survive? If I had to mark down to this, how am I going to survive? So it's about getting into a different psyche, which will be able to empower us more, so that when you hear sales or when you have to put down or mark down a bit or associate or get your staff into one of these outlets, you might actually have more visibility in these outlets than even though you think you're probably going to get broke and die. So changing our mentality around this and understanding it in a deeper level is very crucial.
And also it's a question of scale, you know, economies of scale. When a company like, say, Old Navy, for instance, sells a pair of jeans on sale for, say, $30, right? They are still beating the cost price of that jeans by more than four times.
Yes.
You know?
But that's why we need to understand the psyche.
They're producing very cheap. So it's not like they're really, yeah.
So I think, Eiji, that's what I'm saying. It's a lot, even for me personally, I would be interested in understanding more about how the brand can survive and still have tremendous sales without necessarily compromising the brand, but making sure that all those visible points of interest or of business actually give the brand better visibility and higher sales again at the end of the day. It's just the things we never think. Everyone think 1+1 is 1 when 1+1 can be 2. Sorry, everyone think 1+1 is 2 when it can actually be 1. So I think it's about understanding, these things are, this is business, getting into this business conversations on a deeper level with experts who can actually share with you how you can win. And what's funny is you look like you're losing, but you're actually winning. So it's about seeing beyond how we think. When we lean on our own understanding in these things, we just lose because everything just seems so scary. You don't even want to take the risk. Anyway, guys, it's been so cool. The last show we had last week, that was so much. It was so good as well. I mean, the show around social responsibility and fashion. And I think that when I said we are moving on a conscious level, and you realize when you look around that there's a lot of conscious brands who are playing very ethically. And I think that that's the best thing we can do for ourselves. So there's so much to talk about around these shows. This is 2017. We're getting to wrap up on. And I think for me, all I want to do is just wish you brands out there the very best. I hope that during your holiday time, you can actually lie down on that beach with your piña colada or your glass of wine, whatever it is, and really think about what you're going to do differently next year to get better results. And just applying some of the reality. You cannot play in this game without keeping up with what's happening. Not the Kardashians, but the movement. I mean, the world is evolving so quick that
the world,
everything is moving at a pace where if you don't adapt, you will be left behind. And it's going to be so much harder to catch up. Yes. Mm-mm. Yeah. So, Edgy, what are your last parting shots at the end of this year? Now that we are about to get onto who would you want to address and why?
Well, my parting shots, because we discussed so many things over the period of the year, whether it's branding, whether it's online, like online sales, whether it's social media, just like for African designers to understand that each of these little things matter, you know? We bring them up because they matter. And if they can just pick little things that can help them, that's all we want to achieve, like to help Africa, help the industry in Africa grow a little bit.
Thank you, Edgy. Francisca, what are your parting shots to the industry and to those who are tuned in?
For all of us in the end, be honest, be authentic, and if your voice is enough, delegate someone and invest on them.
Thank you very much. For me, I've been able to share all of my, I keep sharing as we go. So I think, you know, I've said enough. And I think that it is that time of year to think and to just change the way that you do things to get better results. Who would you want to address and why is up? We're going to start with you, Francisca.
Today, I would like to address the Linda Evangelista. She's an icon of my when I was younger, but she's a timeless icon in the end. So I would like a lot to address her.
Thank you. Edgy, who would you want to address and why?
I don't know. I think I want to address myself differently for this year. I mean, for next year especially. Like, find another brand other than Diesel that I would love. I mean, I have a lot of brands, but I'm only in love with Diesel for my pants.
Okay.
So that's what I want to. And you, who do you want to address?
I would like to address my mom.
No, Liz.
Yeah, I would like to address my mom because she's so picky. I don't even know what to do with myself. I'm already just thinking, gosh, I'll be seeing her in a few days. And I'm thinking, now, which dress do I carry 5 and then see which one she picks? And even when I carry 5, each of them have something. She's like, that one's too red. That one's sleeve. The sleeve needs to be 2 inches higher. That one needs. And I'm just like, my gosh, my husband says I'm fussy, but I'm like, wait until you meet my mom. And she's definitely someone who we've grown up with when it comes to our style, aesthetic and stuff. She's very chic. She's very fresh. She spent a lot of time in France and really got into that Parisian style of fashion. And she really epitomizes style. But I just cannot believe that I am going to see her and I'm carrying 5 dresses and I might come back with 5. So anyway, pray for me on that tip, but mommy is who I want to dress today. Thank you for joining us, Edgy. Francisca, thank you for joining us. For those of our listeners,
thank you.
You know where to find us. We're on fashionlabafrica.com, and you know that you can find us also on social media. We're on Twitter at fashionlabaf and on Instagram and Facebook at fashionlabafrica. We definitely would love to hear from you during the holiday. We'll be chilling, but we will still be alive, because remember, we have to keep on our toes. We cannot just be closed for business. So all the best to you. All the best to you, Edgy and Fran. And until next year,
thank you.
Peace and
same
love.
To you.
Okay, bisou. Beijo, beijo. Bye-bye.
This is CliffCentral.com.